Intention this morning is to consider verses 22 going down to 25. But most deeply, it will be on that question in verse 23, a question which is asked by one of them, assuming this was one of the followers, one of the disciples, or one of the learners. He may not have come to the Lord just yet, but he was one who followed and heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that question is amazing, because he asks, Lord, are there few who are saved? Are there few who are saved? Often when people ask questions, there's sometimes when you think, I wonder why he asked that question. Maybe the question seems so dumb. Or sometimes it could be that maybe somebody has asked a question that you yourself was intending to ask. And before we delve into the answer that the Lord Jesus gives, I want us to first think together, why would such a question come to the Lord God? Are there few who are saved? Why is the questioner asking such a question? It could be maybe having heard Jesus preach the word, having heard all the warnings that he was giving to the people to turn away from sin, he was still attracting you people to him. That even though he was preaching well and doing incredible miracles, yet there were a few who were heeding to his message and coming over. And therefore the question is, are there few who are saved? This might be a question that is asked by somebody who is wandering in from the streets of Penzance and enters over here and sees this just a little crowd. And saying, oh, well, Pastor, if those things that you're preaching are true, why is it that there are few people who are listening? There are few people who are obeying. There are few people who are following. If indeed they were true, it could be that maybe many people would be coming. Many people would be running to you. But as it looks, it's only a few people. So does it mean it's just a few people who will be saved? That might be one of the reasons as to why the question is being asked. But secondly, it could be maybe it's coming from Jesus' teaching. As we are told in verse 22, that he was moving in every village and city, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And if we are following Jesus Christ as he journeyed towards Jerusalem, that his message changed and it was hard-hitting. And he was saying, whoever wants to come after me should deny himself. He spoke concerning the cost of following him. And the things he talked about, all of them were very hard. And he says he did not come to bring but a sword, to divide between families. And you're thinking, who is willing to part with his family in order to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? And so the questioner might be wondering, Jesus, you seem to be putting in a lot of hurdles for people. You seem to make it hard to receive salvation. You see, the things you are preaching are hard for the people to follow you. So, Jesus, do you think it's just going to be a few people who will be saved? Christ Jesus and his answer is worth our attention. Christ does not answer the curiosity about numbers, but about persons. He does not give an answer on how many will be saved, but he gives an answer on who will be saved. And so anyone, the curiosity about numbers shouldn't be yours. But who will be saved? Our preoccupation this morning should not be about how many, but it should be on who. And here in these verses over here, Jesus Christ is making it clear. Verse 24, he says, strive to enter the narrow gate. They who will be saved are those who will strive to enter into the narrow gate. These words here present to us a present imperative command. Strive. And here it seems to be like a wrestler who is struggling in a ring for a particular prize. But also it could be translated as agonize. To persevere in the things with tears. What should preoccupy our minds is not who will be saved, but is not how many will be saved. But the ones who will be saved are those who strive in their salvation. A question can rise up to anyone who is listening and thinking, is this young man's theology changed? I want to pause for a moment. When Jesus Christ says to strive, does it mean that those who will be saved are those who work for their salvation? Are those who sweat in order to obtain salvation. And therefore we need to sweat in working so that we may be saved. So we need to wrestle so that we may be saved. Because it seems like, even as it says, this is a narrow gate, a narrow door. It seems it's the survival for the fittest. If you're stronger, then you will be saved. When you read this, you kind of have to read the whole of the Gospels and you say, it seems the Lord Jesus Christ could be inconsistent with all his other teaching. For instance, in John 1:13, he says, those who are saved are children of God are not born of flesh, but they are born of God. And he says, unless one is born from above, John 3:3, or born of the Spirit, John 3:5, he will not see the kingdom of God. And he says, those who were saved, they are the ones who were given to him by the Father. Since the Father just handpicks those who come over to him. No one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. John 6:44. And you see, if indeed Jesus is saying that we need to work for our salvation, then he's inconsistent with the rest of the Gospels, but also very inconsistent with the Apostle Paul, who defines sinners as those who are dead. Dead people do not work, Ephesians 2. Dead people are always on the mercy of others. It's only when they are made alive is when they are able to work out. And so then what is Jesus referring to? The people that Christ is speaking about, they are those who are regenerated. They are those through whom the supernatural work of salvation has been worked into. And here what Christ seems to be emphasizing is the sanctification of the believer. They will strive. They will work out their salvation with great fear and trembling. They will agonize to see that they get hold of that for which Christ has got hold of them. They will hear the voice of Jesus Christ and they will not turn back. They will follow him. They will pursue him. They will go through places in order to get to know him more. They will strive for their salvation. They will strive not because they want to be saved. They will strive because they have been saved. What should preoccupy us, my friends, is our salvation, not about how many people we attract on the Lord's Day morning. What should preoccupy every single individual is, have I understood what Christ has done for me? Have I understood and comprehended the message that I was a rebellious human being, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, has made me alive in him? It's by grace I've been saved. And as I walk about every single day, I strive in order that I may gain more of Christ, in order that I may turn to be more like him every single day. And be we with unveiled faces, as we look to Christ every day, we are being turned into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. Paul, speaking in Philippians and chapter 3 and verse 12, he says these words: not that I've already attained, he is an apostle, not that I've already attained, but I press on. I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of me. Will there be many who are saved? Is it a few who will be saved? No, those who will be saved are those who have understood the regenerating work and their eyes have been opened to the great blessings that they have in Jesus Christ, and they will pursue it with all their might. They'll pursue it. They'll fight a good fight in order to attain that with all their might. Secondly, my friends, I want to draw your attention to the dimensions of the entrance. The dimensions of the entrance. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. And speaking about salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ compares it to entering through a small door. This gate is small for sojourners and therefore out of sight for those who do not look closely. The entrance is not attractive, and neither is it wide and inviting, but narrow and therefore a bit restrictive in its way. And yet, this small gate leads us to one of the great places, and where Jesus Christ is saying, he is calling his people to a place where they will be saved, a place where God and Jesus Christ dwells, a place where the holy angels dwell, a place where men are made perfect, the heavenly Jerusalem, the holy Mount Zion, is entering into the state most glorious. Not marred with sin, with eternal safety. A place where salvation is fully employed, an escape from war, hazards and dangers, snares and toils, temptations and afflictions. Away from the devil and his schemes. No wicked hearts and no dangers of lust. There's no enchanting world but full immortality. This place is inviting us, full of joy and in close view with Christ. No death, no sickness, and no sorrow. And so, my dear friends, as he's inviting us through this very tiny, small gate, he's inviting us to a place most glorious than this world. To be saved is to enter into the kingdom of God, to become part of the household of God. And anyone who would wish to be a part of the household of God, this is the call of the Lord Jesus Christ: enter through this small gate. What's interesting is this door, once again, my dear friends. The dimensions are considered narrow, but what is it? And again, in Luke, we may not find it, but we find it in the Gospel of John, where Jesus Christ himself, in John 10:9, he says, I am the door. Whoever enters by me will be saved and go out and find pasture. This narrow door, my dear friends, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is indeed inviting everyone to enter by him in order to be saved. And so the young man asking whether many will be saved, Jesus Christ is saying, are you saved? Before you think about others, whether they are going to come, how about you? Enter through this narrow door. Enter and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the testimony of God's love toward us. And if you will be saved, there is no other door but this one narrow door. And anyone who will come to it will indeed receive salvation. What is interesting is the words which Jesus Christ says concerning himself. When he says that, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Or when the apostles utter, there is no other name in heaven or on earth into which a man would be saved but the name Jesus Christ. You can't utter these statements and not be deemed narrow-minded, and not be deemed bigoted and exclusive in a way. And therefore we agree with Matthew. It's only a few who will find it. It's only a few who are going to be considered narrow-minded, bigoted, and exclusive, who will be able to find this door. Those who are willing to be ashamed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are willing to carry their crosses, be ashamed like the Messiah was ashamed. They are the ones that he's inviting to come through this narrow door. It has no lighting and that it's attractive to many people, and there are great challenges along the way as you walk the Christian life. It's not going to be easy, and yet Christ says, come to it. As I thought about this, I remembered back home when one lady came and she said she wanted to trust in Jesus Christ. And I don't know why I say this, but in my conversation with her, it seemed like I was discouraging her. And I said, do you know what you're signing up to? Because this is not going to be an easy journey for you. You will suffer great trials. Challenges will come. But one thing that we are promised, we are more than conquerors. And she said, I'm ready to follow Jesus. She was coming from a Muslim background. And we prayed together and we left. 4 weeks to the day, her husband died in a car crash. And it almost like words were prophetic, that's not going to be easy. And just recently, before we came here, she was abandoned by the extended family. Now she has 2 children to take care of. She has no job and there's no help anywhere apart from the church. And so she's rejected because of forsaking the Muslim background. Her husband has died and she's on the mercy of the church. It doesn't become easy when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is a great and sure hope. Anyone who is willing to be assigned or to be named with him, they will not be disappointed. They will not be left alone. The narrow door is full of thorns, trials, and snares. And yet in all those, we indeed overcome. Those who will be saved are those who will embrace the narrow way and the only way that God has set for salvation. But notice, if you are to embrace the narrow way, there is another way you need to forsake. There is another way you need to forsake. And as it is, we all are on that way. We, like sheep, have gone astray in a way against the great God. We are rebellious enemies of God. We do not live in accordance to God's word. And so if we are indeed to truly embrace the narrow way, there is need for repentance. There is need for us to turn around, to ask God for forgiveness, to ask God to accept us because we became his enemies. The great Westminster Shorter Catechism Or it says, what is the chief end of man? It says the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And so that seems to be the main reason as to why God created mankind. And yet we all men have gone astray. We have fallen short of God's glory. We have not lived as God would have desired us to live. And to embrace this narrow way of the Lord Jesus Christ is to turn and say, I've been living a rebellious life. And now I want to come back to your embrace. I want to come back to your embrace. Turn to God and to repentance is one. To turn his life and turn rises from pure and honest fear of God. And this turning means you have to give up some things. You have to give up all the things. You have to give up the way you have lived to gratify your own flesh or to live selfishly among other people. This repentance requires that you render your heart to God. You render your heart to God and you ask and surrender yourself to him. You get rid of all other things that you have piled up over time. You get rid of your sin. You know, I'm speaking to a British audience who do not love any fat on their skin. So different from our culture, because in our culture, to be big is a sign of you're rich and you have something to eat. To be tiny is because you lack what to eat. So when I come here, it's very different. Jesus Christ seems to be talking about those who will go into the narrow way. They have to be thin. Get rid of the fat of sin that you have been having and enter through that. You need to turn away. You need to lay aside, to throw off everything that would hinder you and the sin that would easily entangle. And you run that race with perseverance. And fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. And this journey becomes sweeter if we understand the joy that awaits those who are indeed pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. Finally, even as we walk, there is need to stop and examine ourselves. Stop and examine to see if you are in Christ. Look with me at verse 25. It says, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, you begin to stand outside and knock on the door saying, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I did not know you where you were from. The people who are being spoken about, the people who were in close proximity with the Lord. And again, as they say, as a matter of their testimony, is that they ate with him. They sat with him on the table. And yet, at this final day, he's saying to them, depart from me, I do not know you. And saying, can somebody be so close to the Lord and yet be very far from the Lord? Can somebody be very close to him and yet at the end of time be damned? Such should terrify us, my dear friends, that we may be doing everything right. We may be not missing any prayer meetings. We may not be missing any Wednesday ministry. Hearing the word and yet have refused to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This seems to be like a nightmare for me as a pastor every time I think about it. To think that there are some people who will go through our church door to hell. Now, if you've read Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan says that even on the gates of the celestial city, there is a road that heads to hell. To be so close and yet be very far, where the Lord would say, I do not know you. And reason being is that even though you were close to him, yet you did not take his word seriously. You did not consider his words so seriously. You did not surrender your life to him. And this should always be a warning to all of us to stop and examine ourselves. Am I in the Lord? Jesse Ryle, in his book, Holiness and the Chapter to Grow in Grace, one of the things that he encourages to do is self-examination. Or is stopping to ponder about us. Just me with the Lord. And it's one of the most terrifying things. Because when you are with the Lord, you cannot put up a show. Because he knows every evil in your own heart. But again, that's one of the most wonderful times where we need to make it right with God in the secretness of our closets. And open up and lay our hearts bare and come to the Lord Christ, admitting and confessing our sins to him because he knows us. And may we all, my dear friends, not just make this as a tradition. We go to church on Sunday. We attend prayer meetings, but that Jesus Christ would be real to us and that he will indeed make his home in each one's heart. You know, at the end of the day, it won't matter how many people you were with on the Lord's Day morning. That's why it answers that question. Do not be bothered about how many. Be bothered about who. Are you one of the Lord's people? And each and every day, let your heart be consumed by that. Jesus Christ was speaking to a very proud group of the Jews who knew that they had all the incredible blessings because they were children of Abraham. They rejoiced in that because they knew that they accepted by matter of being born of Abraham's seed. This is the same, and I think many of children who are born in Christian families struggle with. And many who think that because we are born among Christian families, and because my father is a minister, therefore I am a Christian by way of osmosis. It calls for that entry in your own. It calls for you to have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls you to come and come into that entrance by yourself, not looking to see who else is coming, but to come by yourself, to come and enjoy that great fellowship with the Father. And so, will many be saved? That's not the question. The question is, are you saved? If you're not, this is the call. Strive to enter the narrow gate. Because there is going to come a time when the Master will shut down that door of grace. And oh, I wouldn't want to think about what awaits those who have rebelled against his message. May God help us to apply these truths in our hearts. And may he indeed in his grace transform and change us and cause us to walk in the ways that are pleasing to him. Amen.